Throw my gum away. All right. What is the longest Bible verse? Which Bible verse has the most words? Esther 8:9. Very good. How many words? 90. 90 words. Very good. That's your memory verse for Sunday, too, just so you know. Of course, mostly everybody knows what the shortest is, so I'm not going to ask that one. It's well practiced in my house. Miss Gill makes me cry all the time, so. Well, at the pearly gates, St. Peter greeted a minister and a congressman and gave them their room assignments. Pastor, he said, here's the keys to your nice, to one of our nicest efficiency units that we have. And for you, Mr. Congressman, here's the keys to our finest penthouse suite. That's unfair, cried the minister. Listen, said Peter, ministers here are a dime a dozen, but this is the first congressman we ever seen. Once again, at the pearly gates, a taxi driver and a minister are waiting in line. St. Peter consults the list and says to the taxi driver, take this silken robe and golden staff and come on in. Then he says to the minister, take this cotton robe and wooden staff and come on in. Just a minute, said the minister. What's going on here? I do not understand. Well, St. Peter said, well, up here we work by results, says St. Peter. While you preach, people slept. While he drove, people prayed. If you have your Bibles, and I pray you do, let's turn over to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to look at one verse tonight. Exodus chapter 20. If you find your place in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, go ahead and stand. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. And the word of God says, thou shalt not steal. Father God, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for the honor and the privilege to open thy word tonight. Lord, I need your help. Lord, just help me to preach. Father God, help me to say what you want me to say and nothing else. And Lord, help all of our hearts to listen. Lord, just be with this time. Heads it about, Father God. And we pray if there's a lost one, for that lost one's soul. Lord, we pray if there's any of us, Lord, to have iniquity hidden in our hearts, Lord, tonight, will you show it to us? And Father God, that we confess it and draw closer to you. Lord, we do ask, Father God, that you be at this church as we continue to hunt for a pastor. Lord, give us wisdom. Father God, give us direction. And Lord, give that pastor direction and wisdom also, Lord. Lord, that we can meet on even ground, and that's before you and Almighty God. Lord, we do thank you for Brother Chris and Miss Sherry. And Lord, we do lift them up to you. Just continue to touch and work in their lives and use them, Father God, for the cause of heaven. Lord, we do ask that just for a little while, Lord, you come down and dwell among us. Lord, help your unworthy servant to preach. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The definition of steal, of course, is to take or to keep back something that is not yours. In 2017, there were reported 765,480 vehicles stolen. The average cost was $7,680, with a total loss of $5.9 billion, with Albuquerque being the number one city for theft. And then, of course, followed by Pueblo, Colorado, and then six different California cities made the top 10 list. Theft by employees in 2017 cost businesses $50 billion. Often, the employees, when embezzled, are trusted members of the company. Fund theft, which is stealing the funds, was the most common embezzlement. They would all, in matter of fact, it consumed to 1/3 of all cases. In 28.7% of the cases, the employees took more than 5 years to steal what they wanted, doing small pieces at a time so they would not be tracked or caught. There's roughly 325,000 home break-ins in a year, with most burglars living within 2 miles of the home that they broke into. With 65% of the burglaries, the people actually know each other. It's the burglar and the homeowner. In 2015, home burglars reported a $14.3 billion loss. That's just in the U.S. Can you imagine what third world countries look like? How about this? In churches across the world, it is estimated that of the $594 billion is donated through tithes and offerings, 6% of that is stolen, which is $37 billion. It could be used for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A Reverend Michael Jude Fay, a Catholic priest, himself stole $1.3 million before he got caught. Can you imagine God's own people stealing from him? How would you feel if I told you tonight there's a thief in here? What would your reaction be? Would you say, it's not possible? There's nobody in here that would steal. Well, I'm here to tell you there's probably several thieves in here. You see, money is not the only thing that you can steal. Scripture that we read from Exodus 20 and 15 plainly states that thou shalt not steal. But it does not tell us what not to steal. But we all think in our minds when it comes to this scripture that God says don't steal, that means something tangible, a product, money, steal from somebody else. But the definition of the word steal is to hold back something that belongs to somebody else. I would submit to you that you can steal a whole lot more than money. We know the Bible teaches in Malachi 3, 8, and 9 that holding back one's tithes is stealing from God. For it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say wherein you have robbed me. In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this, the whole nation. We know that stealing money from others is a sin, but few consider stealing from God a sin. Most people think that the money that they have earned is theirs. You worked for it. You earned a paycheck. So therefore you can do what you want with it, right? That's what a lot of people think. Well, if you're a lost person, you're totally right. It's your money. You do what you want. But if you're a saved person, God says that 10% belongs back to me. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. And if you made a faith promise, then you also promised to give above that. And that belongs to God. We all know that 10% of what God gives us is a paycheck goes back to him. And if you promise anything else, it is his also. We also understand that it's not hard to understand that, you know, tithing is what we're supposed to do. So I won't waste a lot of God's time on it. I just want to say it's simple. Either you give like you're supposed to or you promise to. And if you don't expect the blessings of God. If you hold back, so will he. It's pretty cut and dry. But stealing is just not about money with God. To be honest, he doesn't need your money. He just wants you to be faithful so that he can bless you. It's actually the easiest thing we can do is tithe. It takes little to no effort for us to do that. There's so much more today that we as church, we as Christians are stealing from God. You remember the definition, to take or to keep back something that's not yours? Most of us in here today have stolen from God. Your body, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which we have of God, and you are not of your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This one body that we have does not belong to us if you're saved. It is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. It's God's temple. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, God come in and made it His house. It's not yours. How many of y'all tonight, I don't intend to make nobody mad. I meant to start with that. I'm not picking on nobody individually. I'm going to tell you the truth. This message come of the chastisement on me. I was having a hard time the other day, and I actually had to come up here an hour before and stand up here and pray. And God convicted me that I've been stealing for Him. That's where I got this message. How many of y'all would like for somebody to come in this sanctuary here and light up a cigarette and start smoking? Most of y'all's mouth would drop. You'll say, how dare you? Or come in here and with a dip cup and spit and everything else. Or come in here with their favorite beverage or, you know, just drink. We don't even like people eating in here. So can you imagine coming in here smoking and drinking and dipping and everything else? What is the difference between your body and this place? Not one thing. God says it belongs to me. And we are supposed to keep it clean. We are supposed to keep it holy. We are supposed to keep it pure. Do you realize the more garbage and more poison you put into your life, you're taking life away from your own self? You're causing yourself to expire before God intended you to. Which means you're taking away years that you could have served Him with. Years that you could have walked the streets of Clovis and pronounced Him Lord and King. Years that you could have spent knocking doors and soul winning for Him. Years you could have spent on your knees praying to Almighty God for the person next to you to be saved. But by putting poison into your body and your life, you're taking these things away from you. You've stolen your body, your life away from God. That's not what He intended for your body to be. It's His house. We wouldn't want dirt in here, and He don't want dirt in here either. Your body is not yours. It is God's house, and we're supposed to keep it clean and poison-free, just as we are this sanctuary. We're supposed to live our lives just as Christ did. How effective of a ministry would our Lord and Savior have if He would have been sitting on the well when a Samaritan woman come up to Him smoking a cigarette? How effective would He have been? How effective would He have been if He'd been sitting there chewing the back and spitting on the ground at her feet? Very effective, huh? No, but Christ Himself set an example for each and every one of us to follow. You don't see Christ chewing the back. You don't see Christ smoking cigarettes. You don't see Christ drinking fermented stuff. You see Christ walking in a holy and clean life so that He could go to the cross spotless. But yet we dump poison in ourselves all the time. And I'm not saying anybody in here is doing this stuff, because I don't know your outside lives and I don't want to know. I'm just saying if you are, that God says that this is His temple and you shouldn't be doing it. How about your time? Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Redeeming the time. Psalms 90:10-12 said, the days of your years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, for we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The word redeeming means to give back as payment. How many of us today would say that we give back our time to God as payment for what He has done for us? How much of your day do you give back? Few, if any, give back over 50% of their day to God. You know, God created a day. God created you to fulfill His will and His purpose in that day. We wonder why people are not getting saved. We wonder why our churches are not growing. One of the main reasons is we have stolen every second of God's day for our own self and for our own personal use. God met Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, which is to say in the first part, the morning. But most of our days start out like this. We hit our snooze button 4 or 5 times. Then we get up in a rush because now we're behind, so we get dressed in a hurry, we grab maybe a bite to eat, maybe a swallow of coffee, and we run out the door. What did we forget to do? We've forsaken God's time. We're supposed to start our day reading and praying to God, asking for His blessings, His guidance, His wisdom, His protection. You know, we're supposed to ask His permission to do things. We are not our own. We are His. And everything that we have is supposed to come from Him. That's including our decision, our day-to-day lives. They belong to Him. But this is what we take from Him. We take from Him His time. For every second belongs to Him. We steal so much of God's time doing things that are temporal and wasteful when we could be redeeming it for God. Just like money, we don't look at everything that belongs to God. We say, it's my time and it's my day. I'll do with it what I want. If you make service 3 times a week, that's including Sunday school, you spend an average of 5 hours a week in church. There's 168 hours in a 7-day week. And we're only giving God 5. And you wonder why people aren't getting saved. Most Christians don't do no more than go to church. And that's it. They give God 5 hours out of 168. The average adult, according to a recent survey, between 35 and 49 years of age, spends 33 hours a week watching TV. The average American spends 5 hours a day. 5 hours a day watching TV, which is the exact same amount of hours the average Christian spends with God in a week. 5 hours. We're stealing His time. How about your tongue? Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparation of the heart is in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. If you're not answering in a godly way, you're stealing God's answer. For His answer is always pure and holy, just and right, without corruption. Yes, sometimes it may hurt just a little bit from what God says, but that's because it goes against our sinful nature. You can read in your Bibles, you'll never find one place where Christ said a hurtful word. You will find where He used the Word of God to correct. Once you get saved, your tongue belongs to Him. And it's never to be used as a tool of the devil. God tells us in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Your tongue is to be used for the sole purpose to bring honor and glory to God the Father. Not to tear somebody apart, not to tear somebody down, not to gossip or to tell lies or anything else. Your tongue it's for the purpose of God to deliver the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to uplift, to bring joy, to show that you care, to pray for them. It is not to reduce them to a lower standard than you. Your tongue is for God's purpose. Oh, that's just the way that I am. Not if you're God's child. Oh, that's just how I grew up. Not if you're God's child. That's who just makes it me. I just speak my mind. Well, it's not God's mind. It's not an excuse. My Bible says that God, Jesus Christ coming into your heart, you're a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That includes this. That includes this. If this got changed. Your tongue is not yours. It's not used to speak evil of. It's not used to be rude, to be snappy, or disrespectful. It's used to honor and to glorify God, and that's it. Your tongue belongs to God. Use it for Him. How about your heart? Ezekiel 11:19 says, and I will give them one heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. The day that you ask Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. He didn't just clean your heart. The Bible says that He took your old one out and He put a new one in there for you. Because the old one was useless and worthless. The old one is poisoned and tainted by sin. It was no good. You understand that God can't come and live in a dirty place? So he ripped that old crusty sin-filled heart out, threw it on the ground, and he took one off his shelf that he had purified with the blood of Jesus Christ, and he stuck it inside of you so you're a new creature. He did that for the sole purpose so that he could come in and dwell with you, inside you, to live in your heart. So whose heart is it? It's supposed to be, brother. That's right. It's supposed to be. And the day that you asked him to come in there and to give you a clean heart, guess what he did that day? That day he set a throne upon your heart. Why? Because that's where he's supposed to sit. It's right there upon your heart. And you know, for a couple of days he probably did for most of us. And then what happens? We decide that we don't want to listen to God anymore. We decide we don't want to do the things of God anymore. So what do? We flick him off his own throne. We take away the heart that he just gave us. We put ourselves back on top. Why? It's our sinful flesh. We take our heart back from him. We take away his throne for our throne. And we put ourselves back on top. Why? Because we want to do what we want to do. We don't want to do what God wants us to do. It's too hard. It's no fun. I don't want God in charge of my heart. So we flick him off. The very thing that he went to Calvary to die for, the very thing that he shed every drop of blood for to cleanse, we take it away from him. We put ourselves back in that place. You know what the one thing the devil wanted was to be in charge. He wanted to be ruler of the world. He wanted to sit where God sits. You know what happens when you flick Christ off the throne of your heart? And you want to sit where God was supposed to be sitting, you ain't no better than what he was. Matter of fact, you have his same attitude and his same desires. God died for each and every one of us. When we asked him to come in to cleanse us, to give us a new heart that was supposed to be his place, to dwell, his place to sit, his place to control. It was his. He earned that right. But yet we stolen it back from him. We have kicked him off of it and not even allowed to sit on the very place that he died for him. How about your salvation? Your salvation, Jesus Christ died for it. He went to the cross, to Calvary for it. It's a free gift, don't get me wrong. But guess what? Once you received Jesus Christ in your heart, once you accepted his free gift, his salvation, it's not yours anymore. It belongs to everybody that you meet. It belongs to everybody that you come across. It belongs to everybody that you know. Every family member, every name that you have ever met. Once you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, that salvation is supposed to come back out of your heart and be spread around the world. A gift that keeps on giving. Once you got it, you're supposed to give it back and give it back and give it back. Acts 20 and 20 says, "And how I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house." Paul gives a fine example of being saved, serving, and giving back to everyone. And that's what we're supposed to do when we receive Jesus Christ in our heart. We're supposed to start serving God, serving people, and giving back the gift that he had given us, and not holding it back from anybody. But the very definition of stealing is to hold back something that belongs to somebody else. And that is what salvation is. For the Bible says that he came to seek and to save all that which was lost. God died for everybody. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. But yet we get our salvations, we accept Jesus Christ into our heart, and then we seal it up, we put it in our pockets, and we walk away. We keep it. It's not ours to keep. It is ours to give, and to give again, and to give again, and never stop giving until Christ calls us home. It's for everybody. But yet we steal it. By not sharing it. if you're saved tonight, I submit to you that your hearts ain't yours. If you're saved tonight, your thoughts are not yours. If you're saved tonight, your time is not yours. Your life is not yours. Your heart is not yours. Your tongue is not yours. Your body is not yours. Your house is not yours. Your car ain't yours. It belongs to God. He gave it to you. You're His servant. You're supposed to use everything that you have for Him. For us to have children, guess what? Our children are not ours. They're God's. The Bible even teaches us that we are not but stewards of our children. What are we supposed to do? Give them back to God. What are we supposed to do with our lives? Give it back to God. What are we supposed to do with our hearts? Give it back to God. What are we supposed to do with our time? Give it back to God. But these things are what things that we keep for ourselves. We fill our lives so full of things from day to day that we have no time for God. We fill our mind with so much smut from the TV and newspapers and everything else. God has a hard time getting back in here. In our hearts, we get so hard-hearted and angry and upset and mad that God doesn't have a place to work in anymore. All the things that are supposed to be God, we have stolen from Him. It's time we gave them back. It's time that we ask God to come back to us and take over what is rightfully His. It's time that we give ourselves 110% back to God and to His service. For we are not of our own, but we are of His. How many tonight would admit that they're thieves, that you have stolen from God? I submit to you that if you're not 100% sold out to Him, that 1% is still stealing from Him. He wants you all because He gave you all. Let's stand. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for Your love.